argument is Mohideen against Holder. Mr. Robert Kumari.
Yes, sir. May it please the court. My name is, as you said, Viswanathan Rudra Kumaran, and I represent the petitioner in this case. You know, in this case, first, the facts get evolved or facts get modified by the agency itself. The immigration judge initially said about the police report, he simply said in this opinion, despite the fact that the police report suggests, I emphasize the word suggest on in the IJ's opinion, that the respondent reported the seizing of his boat by the army. That's what the immigration judge said. The BIA goes to the opinion, the first opinion, in dismissing the appeal.
You see, you appeal from the denial of the motion to reconsider.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, ma'am. I'm coming to that one.
Not from the original denial of the request for asylum.
Yes.
So how can we consider the challenge to any credibility determination?
Because I'm coming to that one. Because the IJ says one thing, the BIA in its initial opinion says something, and when the BIA denied the motion, BIA came up with a new thing on the same fact. The BIA denied the motion for reconsideration, stating that the police report, however, states that the respondent appeared in person. So that's the reason they're denying the motion for reconsideration, primarily. But in their main, the initial opinion, they are saying it suggests that the respondent appeared there. So when they deny the motion for reconsideration, they modify the fact. The BIA manufacture the fact, and they're denying on that basis. The IJ never said. The BIA in its initial opinion didn't say. But when they deny the motion for reconsideration, they simply create a fact. And that was their primary reason.
How big is this boat?
Beg your
pardon. How big is the boat? The fishing boat?
The fishing boat? Sorry, I didn't hear.
How big is it?
I don't know, Your Honor. I cannot give a how big the boat would be.
It seems very odd that the Sri Lankan Navy should use someone's fishing boat as an assault weapon. That bothered the immigration judge.
Your Honor, but the thing is that was not the reason when the BIA denied the motion for reconsideration. And when it comes to the judge was mostly bothered, and that was one of the reasons for the motion for reconsideration, that the Army and the Navy did not have a communication.
No. But the affidavit in the case reflected the petitioner's statement as to what his wife told him about, you know, the boat. And all of that was based on a secondhand account rather than personal knowledge. And the board won't credit an affidavit that's not made on personal knowledge. You know, that's our Leong versus Holder case.
Yeah, I understand. You know, but based on three reasons the board denied the motion for reconsideration. One reason the board denied, because there's an inconsistency between the police report and his testimony. That's one reason. That's what I've been talking, saying that the board manufactured the fact. The second reason they denied it, saying the wife's affidavit was prepared in English. And they also said that was already should have been argued in the original appeal. But what they missed there, Your Honor, because in the wife's affidavit, there is at the bottom, the Sri Lankan attorney says that it was read to her in her native language, and she understood the contents of the affidavit, and then she signs it. So the board failed to take that into consideration. That's what it was argued in the motion for reconsideration. So it falls within the legitimate purview or for the board to decide. So that's the second reason. And the third reason they deny it, saying that, well, it's implausible that the Army and the Navy don't communicate. You know, we have turf battle here. The FBI does something, CIA may not know it. The DHS, something the FBI may not know it, and it's a secret operation. There's nothing, what's there, that's going to be, it's implausible. It's mere conjecture, Your Honor. Then it's going to the wife's statement, the new statement, and the board said, well, because of the adverse credibility finding, we are not going to take it. But the interesting thing, the immigration judge did not use the word adverse credibility finding. He said primarily because he failed to satisfy the burden of proof. If you look at the immigration judge's decision, he says it raised serious doubt. It raised credibility issues. It's not sufficient. He never made an adverse credibility finding. The board made the adverse credibility finding, which it is not entitled. The board is not a fact-finding body. The board is an appellate body. The IJ did not make an adverse credibility finding. The IJ said there was no sufficient, he did not satisfy the burden of proof. So the board should have reopened the case based on the wife's, the new statement also. So in all aspects, Your Honor, when they are denied the final motion for reconsideration, I think the board erred in all aspects. The first three reasons why they deny the motion for reconsideration, and then why they refused to reopen the case, we respectfully say, Your Honor, the board erred both on law and on, importantly, on facts. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel.
May it please the Court, David Wetmore for the Attorney General. First, as an initial matter, counsel has raised the issue of whether the immigration judge in the initial underlying decision, appeal from which is now before this Court, actually made an adverse credibility finding. The immigration judge clearly did. The immigration judge opined, I find the respondent has failed to establish the credibility of his story under the Real ID Act. Simply can't be more clear than that. That's at the transcript at page 110.
So if the petitioner, let me think, had submitted an affidavit based on personal knowledge that officers were looking for him in Sri Lanka, such as if he, you know, maybe he had somehow spoken directly on the telephone, you know, with those officers, would you still contend that the board didn't have to credit the affidavit of that affidavit based on prior credibility concerns with the petitioner?
Yeah, Judge Rovner, we would.
You would. So, in other words, once a liar, always a liar. Is that the government's view? You lie once, that's it.
That would be.
Have you ever lied in your life?
Unfortunately, I'm human. Yes, Your Honor, I have.
Aha.
In this case, I mean, this court's jurisprudence on this issue is fairly clear. This court has said in various cases like Fagese versus Gonzalez, if the petitioner is bringing up a new claim that's not tainted by the prior adverse credibility finding, then and it is within that petitioner's firsthand knowledge, then the government would be entitled to accept it. However, in other cases such as Zhao Zheng Lang, which is almost on four square with this case. In that case, there was a Chinese individual who allegedly had a telephone. She was previously found not to be credible. She had a telephone conversation supposedly with some relatives who said that the Chinese government had increased their population control enforcement, provided no other supporting documentation, and this court said that that was not sufficient.
Okay, but I want to get a principle out of all of this, a principle of law. I want to understand what you are saying is that the board may reject an affidavit based solely on a prior finding that a petitioner has lied once before. In other words, it's dispositive across the board.
Well, I think I'd say that in a case such as this where there are multiple reasons why the individual was found not to be credible, from presenting falsified passports where it was completely unnecessary, lying to the U.S. consulate, submitting forged documents, presenting a completely implausible story.
You're talking about almost every case we see.
Well, I can only speak to this
case,
Your Honor.
They're forged documents.
They've told
the consulate.
In this case, there is a slight twist on the forged document, which actually brings it within, I believe, the ambit of this court's fairly recent decision in Conti versus Holder. It was an unpublished decision. The docket number was 11-3010, decided on July 12th of this year. And in that decision, like this, the petitioner was at a foreign moved to a third country, was safe.
But Judge Rovner is asking you whether you believe in falsus in uno, falsus in unibus.
Boy, it sounds good that way.
Yes, Judge Posner, I believe it depends on the circumstances. And in this case, we do have an adverse credibility finding.
No, that's not a responsive answer. Do you believe in the principle?
I generally do believe in that principle.
Well, we don't, and we've criticized the board for using it because it's ridiculous, right? The fact you tell one lie doesn't mean everything you say is a lie.
It does not. And
you don't accept it.
Well, I certainly don't think it applies in this case because
or you don't accept it.
I'm looking for a deeper principle here.
I think the deeper principle, if the individual has lied at any time in their life and they present a statement purporting to be true, could that statement be true? I think it could. So to that extent, I would say that I would not accept that principle for this sort of application.
So you've changed your mind. I've made you change your mind. Just
under that hypothetical, Judge Rovner, which I do not believe applies in this case, I think you have made me change my mind.
Thank you.
You're certainly
my day
welcome.
Is made.
In this case, we are limited to the abuse of discretion standard. And here we have very limited ways in which the petitioner has attacked the board's decision in that case. He failed to timely petition the direct appeal. And in this case, the only issues were a clarification of the finding with regard to the police report statement, and then he attempted to impermissibly re-argue the merits of two of his original contentions, which the board properly rejected under matter of OSG. And then he submitted the insufficient new affidavit, which this court's precedent has squarely said is insufficient. If the court has no further questions, we urge the court to deny the petition for review. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further, counsel?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.